Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading. To order The Juice for your classroom or family, visit us at thejuicelearning.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving into The Juice again today. See what kind of stuff kids are learning about.
So let's jump right in. First up, a pretty big court case. It seems like Greenpeace got hit with a massive, $660 million judgment?
Yeah, $660 million. And it stems from a protest they organized against Energy Transfer, the oil company, back in 2016, all about a pipeline project.
Okay, wow. So what exactly did Greenpeace do? I mean, that's a huge amount of money.
Well, Energy Transfer, they claimed Greenpeace basically orchestrated the whole protest, training protesters, even paying them. They also accused them of, you know, setting up a blockade and defamation and all that.
Hold on, defamation. Like, what? Were they spreading lies about the company?
I guess that's what Energy Transfer is alleging. Now, Greenpeace is, they're definitely not taking this lying down. They're planning to appeal. They're saying this is all about big corporations trying to silence anyone who disagrees with them.
Makes you wonder, right? I mean, using the courts like that, it's a bit concerning. But I also remember reading something about a similar case being thrown out before.
Yeah, that was in federal court. This time it was filed in North Dakota. Mm. And apparently North Dakota doesn't have those, what are they called, anti-SLAPP laws.
Right, right. The ones that are supposed to protect people from, like, frivolous lawsuits just for speaking their mind. So basically, it's easier to go after someone in North Dakota for protesting. Mm.
Could be. You know, there's this law professor, Josh Galperin. He's suggesting that Energy Transfer might be more worried about public opinion, the long-term impact of the protest on their image.
More than losing actual money, really.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Energy Transfer, they brought in $82 billion in revenue last year. $660 million, even though it's a massive number, it's still, you know, a drop of the bucket for them.
Mm, interesting. Makes you think about the power these big companies have. I mean, this whole case could be a good conversation starter with the kids, you know, about protesting, freedom of speech, and the whole David versus Goliath dynamic.
Absolutely. Now, switching gears a bit, let's talk about electric cars.
Mm.
The Juice has a piece about BYD, the Chinese car maker.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. They're claiming to have cracked the code for super fast charging, like 5 minutes and you're good to go.
That's what they're saying. 5 minutes to fully charge an EV. It's pretty mind-blowing if it's true.
But though, if I remember right, we can't even buy those cars here in the U.S. yet.
Right. Tariffs and all that. But this news has definitely shaken things up a bit, especially for Tesla, it seems.
Yeah, they've been having a rough time lately, haven't they? Sales slowing down, stock price taking a hit.
Exactly. And now BYD comes along with this, this super E platform thing. Sounds pretty futuristic. Supposed to debut in April in their Han L sedan and Tang L SUV.
So how does it actually compare to Tesla's superchargers?
Well, BYD says you can get almost 250 miles of range on a five-minute charge. Tesla, they can give you up to 200 miles, but it usually takes longer than 5 minutes.
Hmm. So potentially faster and more efficient. No wonder Tesla's feeling the heat.
Yeah. There's this guy, Matt Teske. He works at Chargeway, an EV charging company. He's even saying Tesla might be falling behind in this whole battery and charging game.
And meanwhile, BYD is, what, going all in on these super fast chargers?
Yeah, they're planning to open like 4,000 of these charging stations in China. And their chairman, he's got this this vision of making EV charging as quick and easy as filling up a gas tank.
Sounds ambitious. But hey, if they can actually pull it off, it could be huge for the EV market, right?
No doubt. And investors seem to think so, too. BYD's stock price jumped up quite a bit after this announcement.
Wow. Definitely a lot to unpack there. I mean, this could be a good opportunity to talk to kids about the future of electric vehicles, you know, about innovation, technology, and maybe even a bit about global competition.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to something a bit more heartwarming, The Juice has a story about a 9-year-old boy who saved his friend from choking.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. Little JC and Branch. Real hero, that kid.
Absolutely. His friend, Donnie Moore, was choking on a granola bar at school. JC and he saw what was happening and didn't hesitate. He just performed the Heimlich maneuver.
Wow. And it worked.
Yeah, by the time a teacher got there, Donnie was breathing normally. Apparently, JCN learned the Heimlich from watching videos online.
Yes, seriously, that's amazing. I mean, it really shows you the power of online learning, right? I mean, he literally learned a life-saving skill from YouTube.
It really does. And it's a good reminder that these skills, they're not just for adults. Kids can learn them too.
Yeah.
And you never know when they might need to use them.
Absolutely. Now, for something a bit different, The Juice has a piece about a study on fictional characters and politics.
Yeah, this one's interesting. Researchers in the U.S. and the U.K., they asked people which political party they thought fictional heroes and villains would support. You know, like Harry Potter, Voldemort, that sort of thing.
Hmm. So, like, would Harry Potter be a Democrat or a Republican, that kind of thing?
Exactly. And guess what they found?
What? Tell me.
People were way more likely to say the good guys would vote for their own party and the bad guys for the other side.
So we basically project our own political biases onto fictional characters.
Pretty much. One of the researchers, Stuart Turnbull Degard, he's saying this kind of black and white thinking, it can be dangerous, especially in politics. It makes people more susceptible to misinformation. You know, because they're not seeing the nuances.
Right, right. It's like everything becomes us versus them. No room for any middle ground.
Exactly. This study was published in Political Science Research and Method, by the way.
Interesting stuff. You know, this could be a good way to talk to kids about how media can influence us and how important it is to think critically about everything we see and hear, especially in this day and age with all the fake news and everything.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Now, have it a little inspiration. The Juice has a quote of the day from Virginia Romedy.
Virginia Romedy. Oh, the former CEO of IBM. I remember her. What did she say?
The quote is, "I learned to always take on things I'd never done before. Growth and comfort do not coexist."
Powerful stuff. And coming from someone who led a tech giant like IBM, it definitely carries weight.
Absolutely. She oversaw a huge transformation at IBM, focusing on, you know, cloud computing and all these new technologies.
So she definitely knows a thing or two about stepping outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, this quote could be a good jumping off point for a conversation about growth and change. You know, the importance of challenging yourself, whether it's in school, work, or just life in general.
For sure. Now, last but not least, it seems The Juice is giving us heads up about allergy season.
Yeah, they're talking about the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America's list of the worst cities for allergies in 2025.
Oh, no. Those lists are always a bit scary, especially if you live in one of the allergy capitals.
Well, get this. Wichita, Kansas takes the top spot for the third year in a row.
Oof. Rough. What are some of the other not-so-great places for allergy sufferers?
New Orleans, Oklahoma City, Memphis. Pretty much the whole top 10 is dominated by cities in the South and Midwest.
Any good news for folks with allergies?
Well, the list also includes cities that are better for allergy sufferers. Places like Cleveland, San Diego, Boston. They tend to have lower pollen counts and better access to, you know, allergists and stuff.
So there's still hope for us allergy-prone folks.
Yeah, there's always hope. And this whole topic, it's a good opportunity to talk to kids about, you know, how different environments can impact our health.
Absolutely. Well, it looks like we've covered everything in The Juice today. And with that, we'll wrap up our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Until then.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.